Hi, everybody. My name is Yarrow, and you're listening to the Embodied Business Podcast. I am so glad to be recording for you again. It's a rainy Thursday afternoon. I'm sitting in a big velvet beanbag under an electric blanket, and I just had a really good snack. So just setting the scene a little bit. The topic I want to talk to you about today is very close to my heart. I had quite a few conversations with clients recently about what it feels like to be on social media these days. So I wanted to give an update and kind of share some ideas or questions for how you might or might not want to run a social media free business in 2024. Of course, I always want to preface this by saying that I'm just sharing my own experience, some questions that have been meaningful and helpful for me. I'm not saying that being off social media is better than being on social media. I'm just here, you know, to be a sounding board for you, I guess. So yeah, I hope that's useful to you. Before I dive in, a few updates from my web design and tech support practice. I am, excited to work with cool people this year. I'm offering 6 custom web design projects. I have a new thing where I'm offering people who book more than 3 months out 5% off, because that's really helpful for my own planning and scheduling and all of that. And yeah, I really enjoyed the tech days lately too. It's such a beautiful way to get a lot done in your business and to have a second pair of eyes and hands without making a big financial commitment. I will link to both of these things in the show notes. All right, so let me dive in. I want to begin really briefly, and I will keep this brief because I have talked about it before. If you want to go back into the feed and hear about me leaving social media, you can, but I will give you kind of an overview of how that came to be for me. So I joined Instagram for my business in 2015, and I built it up to 6,500 followers. For some people, that's a lot. For some people, that's very little. And, you know, it's fair. I mean, numbers are silly like that. They're very relative. But I was, for many years, posting every single day, engaging with comments, answering direct messages, and just doom scrolling a lot as well. In 2019, I had the first period of time where I really began to question whether that was right for me and if it was effective for my business and what I was trying to do. And I used an app that told me that I was spending about 10 hours on average on Instagram. And I also knew that I was getting about 100 clicks from that time spent on Instagram through to my websites. And I really felt like, wow, that is 40 hours per month and I'm getting 100 clicks, out of which maybe 2 or 3 or 5 people at most will decide to work with me in some way. Most of these people probably just wanted to listen to an episode, maybe have a little look. And that is, of course, totally fine. Because the thing is, for me, social media was also about building community, exchanging ideas, being exposed to things that maybe otherwise I wouldn't be seeing, and feeling a sense of belonging. And I think all these things are super valid too. So of course, it wasn't just about those clicks or about those people becoming clients or customers. But I also had to address, as you know, someone who really values their time and energy, whether what I was doing was really effective in the greater scheme of things. I had been podcasting for many years at that point. I knew this is something I really love and want to continue doing and put a lot of energy into. And it just felt much more important to me than being on social media. So I took a 6-month break into 2019. I deactivated my account and I was really pleased to see that my business didn't collapse. I had just as many students and customers and clients than I had before. I just was wasting a lot less of my time and I found other ways to connect with people. So I came back in 2020 because I really felt for myself that I wanted to scream into the void with people and see what snacks they were eating and what their animals were up to. And I guess that makes sense for the time being, right? But at the end of the of 2020, I really felt like I had enough again. I was just doom scrolling so much. It really amplified my anxiety in some ways to spend so much time on the app, and I deleted my account completely, which was of course scary in a way, but it was also something that I've never really regretted. So that is my brief backstory. I think there are so many, you know, in-betweens here. You know, some people have a really good time using Instagram only during the week. Some people only use it privately. Some people really get a lot out of being there every day and engaging with their communities and offering content and creating, you know, materials that they're proud of. So I really think there is a wide spectrum, and I'm just really passionate about helping people be intentional and clear about their decision and their boundaries and the output on the app. What I'm hearing often from people, especially in the last 2 months, since various political conversations and situations have become even more painful and violent, is that they are feeling they're not good enough, they are lacking creative confidence, they struggle with thoughts of being visible, and there's a real sense of discomfort and being dysregulated on social media. And I think, of course, that makes sense. It is brutally painful to witness every day what's happening in the world and to feel that deep sense of uncertainty about what is going to happen next for us. And I think with that, it's really good to remember that these apps were built by billionaires to capture as much of our time and attention as they possibly can. And that is often done by, you know, giving us anxiety and this fear of missing out when we are putting our phones down. So I want to be clear that I think that sense of urgency of like, oh my God, I can't look away, that is intentional and it's not really our fault. That's just how these apps have been designed, basically. I'm also sensing often as I talk with people and talk to myself is that a lack of confidence is often standing in the way of something that people really care about and want to be doing in their lives. And so I've been thinking a lot lately about a lack of confidence as a barrier and about how I can remove that for myself and others. Because I feel like at the end of the day, I really want my activism to be effective, sustainable. I want to take a stand for what I believe in. I want to show embodied solidarity with marginalized people. I want to be able to have uncomfortable conversation. I want to build, you know, capacity to show up and make a difference in a way that's kind of appropriate, I guess, rather than out of proportion or too far, you know, outside my reach. And I guess I'm mentioning these last two things because I also noticed in myself that being in social media, or rather now not being on social media anymore, really helped me understand that being exposed every day to really accounts of any scale, you know, really big ones, but also really small ones that were really active, kind of blew my sense of proportion or being right-sized out of the water. I don't think that I'm phrasing this quite correctly. But I think what I mean is that the more time I'd been spending on social media, the more I felt like I was always behind and never quite good enough. And that the things I could contribute or the skills I had were kind of meaningless in the greater scheme of things. And I think that's something, again, that many of us struggling with at the moment. And it kind of really breaks my heart, because I'm surrounded by so many incredible people who really care and who really are willing to take risks for what they believe is right, and who really want to put, you know, something of themselves on the line to do the right thing. But then there's this sense of like real overwhelm and urgency and never enoughness. And so one aspect that I thought was interesting to think about here is that maybe we don't have to be thought leaders or experts outside of our scope of practice. And maybe we can bring exactly the skills we actually already have, the things maybe that we have qualifications around or experience in, really are good enough and beautiful to bring to the table. And that maybe outside of that, what the best thing we can do very often is more to listen and to signal boost fundraisers or citizen journalists from the ground, or just generally marginalized voices that deserve to be heard more than they currently are being heard. Because I think there's a lot of pressure when you are in that space of on social media to not just kind of show where you stand, but also contribute original thought to the conversation. And that's actually really hard to do. That's a job in itself. It requires time to think. It requires time to, do your own research in a really significant way and be part of conversations. And that's not necessarily always our job. Of course, it's important to be thoughtful and to think about what you're sharing and how that might come across, and you know, how can you come with as much compassion and generosity as you can. But I don't think that always has to mean that, you know, we all are contributing these like high value, original, significant pieces of work. You know, sometimes I think it's just showing up in the best way that you can with the skills that you already have. And also modulating a kind of regulated approach to social media and content making that isn't based on urgency and reactivity. I know all of this is so much easier said than done, but I think these are really important questions if you're currently questioning your relationship to social media and whether that is a part of your business in 2024. So something I would really love to offer you is to bring awareness to what you're currently getting out of social media. So for me, definitely that was a sense of community, like I said, of being exposed to new ideas in little bite-sized chunks. I also enjoyed it aesthetically, I'm not going to lie, sometimes that's fun. And I got to have new connections with people that maybe I would have otherwise not come across. So before I left, it was really important for me to sit down and write a list of what I was currently getting out of social media. And then I was thinking about how I could replace these things for myself personally, but also for my business. So how could I be part of kind of slower, more regulated, maybe more insightful networks of people who get together to have beautiful and sometimes difficult conversations? I joined different Mighty Network spaces. I poured more energy into facilitating my own communities online. And I also made more time to really think about the kind of people that I wanted to interview for my podcast and how I could make the interview process for them as enjoyable and easy and accessible as possible. So those are just some things, and maybe you have totally different things that you feel you're getting out of it currently, and maybe it is actually a source of regulation for you. I remember, for example, that there were many hospital appointments I had in 2020 where I just felt like so drawn to pull my phone out and just scroll as I was sitting there and waiting for my appointment. And so, you know, sometimes there is a sense of regulation out of that. And for full transparency, I'm now using Pinterest in that place. Pinterest, you might argue, is social media as well, but firstly, I'm not really using it for my business. And secondly, it really doesn't have quite the same social element to it than say like X or Facebook or Instagram, because it's not about talking to other people. It's more a visual search engine similar to Google, where you put a keyword in and then you get results based on your preferences. There's lots more to say to that, but this episode is not about Pinterest. I'm just saying that I'm aware that this visual stimulation in a gentle way sometimes has been really helpful for me, and I found other ways to replace that that then didn't, you know, require me relying on Instagram so much. I also just want to point us back to kind of who makes these apps and with what intentions, and especially if you're in a space where you're feeling that your maybe your political contribution or your activism falls short of what you would like them to be, you know, is that really a good use of your time to be spending hours and hours every day doom scrolling when really to some extent what that does is give more money to these billionaires who are running these apps? Again, I know that's so much easier said than done, but I'm really just excited about us redirecting some of our time and headspace and energy into conversations that make an actual difference. And not saying that, you know, conversations on Instagram can't make a difference, but I think the doom scrolling, that is the thing that I feel can often be a waste of time. For me, it's been really helpful to watch the film The Social Dilemma. I think it came out in 2020, and I actually made a footnote, a head note in myself to watch it again because it's been a few years and I wonder kind of how it lands for me now. But one of the key takeaways from watching the film was that we really exist online in these echo chambers, and that too is intentional, and that often what we share or what we want to expose our audiences to, for lack of a better way of phrasing that, is information that is already available to them, that they are quite likely already or are aware of. So that again, I think watching that really helped me understand that I wasn't always, in the way that I thought, really kind of like bringing something new to the conversation, because the people who were following my account were already kind of on board with most of these things, right? So actually, I think at least for me at this time, what I hope might be a little bit more effective is to, you know, make more space for long form conversations, be that on the podcast or in my actual real life, in person or through my Substack account or through workshops that I'm running. For example, I taught as a guest teacher for a local organization lately, and we talked a lot about social media and what that feels like at the moment. And that felt so meaningful to me, because I felt like people had a chance to engage with these ideas in a different setting, in a way that maybe landed differently for them. And yeah, that made me really happy, basically. So I can recommend watching the film. It's called The Social Dilemma. And maybe just to feel into whether that's true for you right now. You know, do you feel like you're part of an echo chamber on Instagram? And do you feel like when you're on the app, you are in the right headspace to actually have nuanced conversations? Maybe the answer is yes, in which case that's so great for you, right? Really happy for you. And maybe the answer is no. But really, at the end of the day, what I hope that we can come to is trusting our own judgment more, listening to our bodies. And two podcasts stand out to me when I'm thinking about, you know, how do I really want to engage with media at this time? Because one of the things I identified as something that I was getting out of Instagram was that I was being exposed to new ideas. And like I said, you know, there's an ambivalence there, because in some ways they were part of an echo chamber. But, you know, nevertheless, what I want to kind of shift to at the moment is listening to more long form audio content. And I think that's actually been true for me for a number of years. Really love podcasts. I've been buying some very good audiobooks or borrowing them from the library lately. And two podcasts come to mind that I want to signal boost here. One is How to Survive the End of the World by Adrienne and Autumn Brown. And then the other one is For the Wild by Ayanna Young. Both of these podcasts, I think, are doing so well in bringing really beautiful, deep, rich, nuanced conversations to people in a way that's actually really regulating rather than overwhelming or bringing an additional sense of urgency, if that makes sense. So yeah, I wonder, you know, in what ways do you have time and space in your life and your business to engage with new ideas and long-form content? And how is that enriching the creativity of the work that you're doing? How might you yourself create more DIY media outside of social media? So this has all been kind of a lot about self-regulation, activism, and using your voice on social media. I hope it's been helpful, but I also want to talk a little bit about the business aspect, because at the end of the day, that is what this podcast is about. And I guess I just want to say to begin with that a lot of people tell me that they feel a lot of pressure, as I've mentioned earlier, to be seen as kind of on the right side of history, as a thought leader, rather than just like a human being who is learning and growing and also trying to run a business. There's also often a sense of shame where people say, well, you know, like what does it even mean that I offer something right now in the greater picture? And I guess I'm just naming that so that you know you're not alone. Definitely a lot of people, including myself, feel that way at the moment, where we're really questioning, like, you know, it's not business as usual, and what do I do? How do I show up? And I guess what I want to say to that is that I think I'm surrounded, like I said, by so many beautiful people who are really, really invested in making a difference in the world and leaving it better than they found it. But what also feels important to me in this moment is that we, like I said, connect to the wisdom of our bodies and unshame a little bit the fact that we too are mammals who have needs, and some of these needs have to do with money, like having food and a home, basic shelter, you know, maybe access to healthcare, even wild. But those things haven't gone away for you probably, and making it harder for yourself and your business right now to meet these basic needs is probably not going to help anyone. Of course, we're all having to think about, you know, how can we maybe redirect some of our resources, be them financial or time-wise or skill-wise, but we can hold the both. And I think that is really important to keep in mind. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how I'm intending to run my business without social media this year. My focus really remains on the podcast. I enjoy this format so much. I'm really hoping to bring some more guests onto both of my podcasts, but especially the business one this year, because I haven't had a chance to do that very much last year. It's mostly been solo episodes, which I also love, but, you know, talking to people is cool. And I just want to really make time to hear more opinions about this subject. I am also, as I've mentioned, on Substack at the moment, and that is a little bit of a question mark for me, if I'm totally honest. The reason I moved to Substack is that I find it more accessible and interactive and engaging. So some of the functionality really speaks to me. For example, that you can read your podcast, your newsletter out at the top. You can comment, you can have polls. And those things were not possible on MailerLite, where I had been before. And I think they can really add value to my monthly newsletter. But at the same time, I'm not really happy with how their content moderation policy is being handled. I know there are big conversations about that at the moment, and it seems to me that the last word is not spoken yet. But I'm certainly keeping an eye on that, and if the situation doesn't change, then I would definitely leave. Which would be a shame, and I really hope that there is an alternative to Substack with similar functionality, which sadly I have not seen yet. But that is also the nature of technology, right? Like, we have to demand what we need from them and make it clear what is and isn't accessible, acceptable, and then see where we can go from there. So the newsletter has been monthly for many years, and that rhythm still really works for me. I'd say that my last two newsletters have not been that exciting. In the main body of the newsletter, I didn't share so much because I felt pretty tired in November and December. So I'm really bringing more love and energy to the January one, and I'm excited about that. The other thing that I'm continuing to offer and have offered since autumn is a monthly Spark session. That's the first Sunday every month, and it's kind of like a really sweet, gentle, intention-setting space. The last few sessions, I think between 15 and 20 people showed up. In total, about 60 or 70 are currently registered through Zoom. So they are getting the link. And, you know, that is not unusual for a lot more people to sign up for a free thing and then actually show up, and that's fine. But I really love those spaces because, firstly, it feels like a generous thing that I can offer. I find that really easy. I do that kind of thing on a Sunday anyway. So I make my space cozy, I make a tea, I light some candles, and then I offer people this little workbook with journaling prompts, ritual ideas, little spells, you know, all kinds of cute things that you can do during that hour that we spend together. And the idea is that I open the circle, people come as they are, and then they pick whatever they want to do from the guidebook. And so it's really self-led, it's really flexible, but it also offers you that gentle accountability, and people seem to really enjoy it, and I really enjoy it. And I think that is a beautiful way for us to be in community, even when I'm not on Instagram anymore, even if you can't send me a DM or like necessarily like get a question answered on one of my posts or something like that. We still have that contact, and I actually think in many ways it's more intimate and meaningful than it felt for me to be on Instagram. And then the other thing I'm doing to kind of build community around my work is to be a guest teacher in other spaces more often. So I reach out to local organizations that serve small businesses and kind of just offer to run free workshops. And I've really enjoyed that so far. I personally, you know, there's a lot to be said about free labor and what does that mean, wah, wah, wah. But I think I have capacity to do it. It feels good. And I don't ever feel that, oh gosh, because I offered something for free here, people are potentially not going to hire me. I share a lot on the podcast. I mean, in as much as I can in audio form, I feel I pretty much share anything, everything that I know about any given subject that I talk about. I'm not really holding back so that people, you know, hire me, because I trust that even if I do share everything I know, there's still going to be people who are either not keen on doing it themselves or just, you know, want someone else to have in their project, or, you know, whatever reason, people seem to still hire me. So that is all good. And it's a nice way to get to know more people locally as well, and to grow my community a little bit that way. So yeah, have a think about how that lands for you. Is that an option for you? How do you feel about your newsletter at the moment? Do you enjoy guest teaching? How do you connect with new communities? And what kind of ways of expressing yourself feel good and doable and sustainable for you? And maybe, like I said, that is social media. Maybe it's YouTube. Maybe it's a podcast. Maybe it's pouring more love into your newsletter. But there are lots of different options for sure. Yeah, I think those are the main points of kind of how I'm running my business this year. Other small tweaks that are less about social media are that I am, like I mentioned, scheduling further out in my web design and tech support practice. And then over in my other art business, I'm bringing my Patreon back. I'm running a community called Stitching Together. We have 3 sessions a month. It's been really, really gorgeous so far. And it brings in a little bit of extra income that is reliable in my business, which is so appreciated. It supports the podcast, it supports those sessions and the research on radical needlework histories that I'm doing this year. So yeah, that feels good. That is my perspective for 2024. I'm not making big leaps. I feel okay about that. I think there's a lot going on overall. And I just want to keep going and have a good time, because I'm entering my 10th year in March, which is pretty wild to me. So it's my 9th business anniversary. And I'm going to be honest, I feel proud about that, because as a young person, I often thought about myself as a quitter. I never imagined that I would feel so passionate about my work, that I would find something I really love doing and feel committed to for the long run. And yeah, I'm really grateful. So thank you so much for listening and for celebrating my soon-to-be anniversary with me. I hope this has given you some food for thought. I hope that you're not being harsh with yourself. Whatever you choose to do, I trust that you're doing the right thing for you at this time. And I'm grateful for you for that. Thank you.